Sakta Mishnah Vayter, Masechta Shabbos, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Beis. Now, in a way, this Mishnah is like the aside of all of Hilchas Shabbos, because this Mishnah is going to teach us the Lamed Tes Melachais. Now, we already explained that all of the Lamed Tes Melachais are learned from the Mishkan. Whatever was done for the construction of the Mishkan, or the Kalim of the Mishkan, were called Avais. Things that we find befeirished by the Mishkan are called Avais. Similar things that accomplish similar objectives are called Taldais. Some say this also includes what was done for Karbanais. So how do I know this? How do I know that all the Lamed Tes Melachis are learned from the Mishkan? Answer is, twice, in Parshas Kisisa and in Parshas Vayakel, the Torah puts together Shemira Shabbos, reminding us to guard Shabbos next to the building of the Mishkan. Are all the Lamed Tes Melachis in one category? Absolutely not. Actually, there are four categories of Melachis. The first 11, Melachis 1 through 11, are the Melachis that are necessary to the baking of bread. The second category, the next 13, those are Melachis 12 to 24, are the Melachis that you need to do in order to manufacture clothing. And then you have the next 9 Melachis, from Chaf Hei through Lamed Aleph, those are the things that are required for the writing of a Sefer Torah. And the last category, Melachis Lamed Beis through Lamed Tes, those are the Melachis that were employed, that were used for the actual construction of the Mishkan. So over there you have all the things that were done, like writing, erasing, that was a siman on the krushim to know which one had to be paired with the other one, building, taking apart, and sometimes they had to light fire to melt the silver and put it into place, makabah patish, finishing off the gold of the Karshia Mishkan, meaning covering the krushim with gold, and then they would have to bring the donations that the people brought through the Rishus HaRabim. As we go through the Lamed Tes Melachis, we'll try to give some ideas of the Avais and the Taldais, and to see how it's important for us to know it. But of course, again, to know Hilchas Shabbos, you have to learn a lot more than just the Mishnayos, but we're going to get some of the basics here. Zakta the Mishnah, once again, Masechta Shabbos, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Beis. Avais Melachis, the major category of Melachis, those that were done outright in the Mishkan, Arbaim Chaser Achas, 40 minus 1. The first one is Hazareya. Zareya means planting. Really, anything that's done to help the plants grow could be a Toldo Zareya. Well, anyone ever tell you when you were washing your hands in camp or over grass to be careful that the water shouldn't go on the grass? How's about when you're sitting down to Einik Shabbos, Shabbos afternoon, to be careful with the liquid? Cups of soda over the grass, and it's better not to eat or drink over the grass to start with. What about a flower pot? If I add water to my flower pot, am I chayiv min deraisa? And the answer is no. You're not chayiv min hatayra, but the Rabbanan said we don't want you to do it. So you would have to be careful, let's say, about even moving a flower pot to a place where it can grow better, like from a room that doesn't have as much air to a room that has more air, or a room where there's only shade, to a room where there's sun. So that's the first of the 11 Melachis. If you want to have bread, you have to first plant. V'hachayresh, and plowing. Wait a second, don't we plow first and then plant? Well, the answer is yes. However, sometimes when the ground is very hard, even after they planted, they plowed a second time. So the Mishnah is telling us, a chiddush, that even this second plowing is still considered the Av Melach of Chayresh. Well, I guess you're thinking, this is one malach I don't have to worry about. I'm not going to be plowing on Shabbos. Well, if you don't know the halachas, you do have to be concerned with this. Let's say you use your shoes to straighten out some earth. There was a pile there before, and you made it straight now. Let's say you dug a hole outside. Let's say you were playing a ball, and you were rolling it on the floor, straightening out the floor. All of these could be possible examples of chayresh. Even if you poured water on the earth in order to soften the earth, that could also be chayresh. Or let's say you want to innocently drag a heavy table on the ground, outside on the earth, in one place to another, and you know for sure it's going to dig into the ground and make tracks. If you know for sure it's going to make tracks, even though it's not your intention to do it, you're not allowed to do it because of chayresh. Again, there are many, many more halachas. I just wanted you to get a little bit of an idea. Zak de Mishnah Vayter, v'hakoytzer, and cutting. So let's concentrate over here. I already plowed, I already planted, now Baruch Hashem it grew. If I start reaping and cutting what grew, or plucking fruit off the trees, I am chayiv because of kaitzer. Do you know that it's also to climb a tree on Shabbos? As a gzeir, you might come to rip off some of the branches or leaves. Do you know you can't hang your coat on a tree? Even if you put it there before Shabbos, you're not allowed to take it off? Do you know you can't lean on a tree if you're leaning with all of the weight of your body? You're leaning so heavily that if somebody would take that tree away, boom, you would fall to the ground. Can't do that. Chazal asked the use of a tree, Shabbos, because we're scared that you may come to cut off something from the tree. It's only higher up on the tree. If it's all the way down by the stump, less than 3 tefachim, it's okay. You know why you're not allowed to ride an animal on Shabbos? As a gzeira, you may break off a branch from the tree and use it as like a whip or a stick to guide the animal. Vayter Zakta Mishnah, this is the fourth malach of Ha'Ma'amer. Ma'amer means gathering cut plants into one pile. So let's say you're walking by a tree and you see a bunch of apples laying there. Now if the apples fell off during Shabbos, they're muktzah. But even if they didn't fall off during Shabbos, I know for sure they fell off before Shabbos, you still aren't allowed to gather them together underneath the tree. So let's see now. Plowed, I planted, I cut, I've gathered the tefuah together. What's next? Am I ready to eat the bread? No, we have a long way to go. Next comes the fifth malacha, which is hadash. Hadash means threshing. The animals walk over the grain. Why would I want the animals to walk over the grain? Well, the answer is, this way it like cracks the part of the tefuah that I need from its shell. Now, like we mentioned earlier, there are many toldos of dash, which is nogeya to us. For example, squeezing out grapes or olives, which would be an iser deraisa. Other types of fruits, which are not olives or grapes, but you're doing it for the juice, could be aser midrabanan. Do you know that even milking a cow could be aser? Anytime I'm like squeezing something out of a shell or out of a base, anytime I'm getting liquid out of a solid, that could fall under this category. In the case of a cow, though, there are certain ways that it's mutter because of tzar bali chayim. You know, sometimes even when something spills on the tablecloth, you have to be careful how you wipe it up. Because if, as you're wiping it up, you're squeezing liquid out of something, that could also be this malacha of seichet, which is a tolda of dash. Okay, so let's see. I planted, I plowed, I cut, I gathered it. My behemoth walked on it, I threshed, I broke off the hard shell. What now? You broke off the hard shell, but it's still mixed with the tool. So what the farmer would do now is, he would lift it up, and the wind would blow away parts of the shell, so I'm left with the heavier kernels. That's called v'hazayra. How do we translate zayra? The literal translation is winnowing. My Rebbe used to say wind shoveling, because the farmer scoops it up with some type of a pitchfork, and the wind does the rest. Vayter says the Mishnah, there are still parts over here that I have to take out before I can start grinding this. And that's Haboirer. That's the seventh Malacha. Haboirer means picking or sorting. There are many, many halachas that you have to know about Boirer. For example, suppose you have fish and bones that are mixed together. You're not supposed to take the bones from the fish. You could take the fish from the bones, oichel mitaych psalas, if you're doing it right before you're eating, and you're not using a keli that is especially made for boirer. Boirer could pertain to many things, even to piles of svarim that are mixed together, or piles of clothes that are mixed together. Okay, so once again, I plowed, I planted, I cut, I gathered, I threshed, I wind shoveled, I separated, the parts that I can't use, and now I am ready to grind. That's malacha number 8. Ha toichen, which means grinding wheat into flour. Where did they do that in the Mishkan? Well, there were plant parts that were pounded to make dyes for the curtains. You know that if you cut vegetables into very, very fine pieces to cook them, that could be a telda of grinding. So, can't I chop up my food? I like it when it's chopped up. Well, here's the rule. Anything that comes from the ground and you cut it into very, very tiny pieces, thin pieces, that could be taichen. What about on Shabbos? I have the iron svibel, the eggs and the onions. Well, you have to make sure to cut it a little bit bigger than you would do during the week, and not to use a special keli that's made for it. Can I use a fork to chop up bananas, avocado? Not really. That may be considered a keli that is singled out to do it with. Well, how's about meat, fish, or eggs, things that don't come from the ground? Well, technically it's mutter to grind them, but Chazal said we still don't want you to use a special keli that's made for grinding. Let me tell you another interesting thing. Let's say you're sitting next to your baby brother, and therefore some of the chalt on his plate wound up on your Shabbos jacket. And it begins to dry up, and you want to like scratch it off? Think what you're doing. You could be grinding up those potatoes. Let me tell you something else. Do you know that unnecessary medications, if it's necessary, you're allowed to take it, but unnecessary medications, if you don't mamash have to take it, you're not supposed to take it on Shabbos. Why? Because most of the medicines that they had came from grinding up herbs. That's why Chazal said unnecessary medications can't be taken on Shabbos. Of course, if your father or mother give you a medicine on Shabbos, that means that you have to take it. That means it's a necessary medication, which not only is mutter, but you're supposed to take it. Okay, so, after all of this, do we finally have a piece of challah yet? Nope. Even though we planted and we plowed, or plowed and planted and reaped and gathered and threshed and wind shoveled and sorted and grinded, that's right, we're still up to malacha number 9. Remember, 11 steps till you get to the piece of bread. 9 is the hamirakeh. Hamirakeh is sifting. It would sift the flour after it was ground. Number 10, the halush. Lush means kneading. Now, what's kneading? Kneading is when you pour the water into the dough and then you mix it together exactly when you're chayiv. There's different shitas. But basically, any time you take things that are loose and through liquid you mix it together to form one substance, that's called lush. So the av malacha would be pouring water on flour and working it together to form a dough. Well, how's about mixing cement? Yes, kneading earth for building materials would also be a tolda of dash. You know that when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, you're supposed to prepare the charoisis from before Shabbos? Can you imagine why? It's because you're also taking loose things through liquid and turning it into like one mush. Well, if you forgot to do it before Shabbos, there are certain ways that you can do it on Shabbos if you don't do it in the normal way. Finally, says the Mishnah, we're up to the 11th. V'ha'aifa, and baking. Next time you bite into a cookie, you have a piece of a Danish, piece of bread, just remember, when you make that bracha and you say thank you to Hashem, what had to be done in order to get this piece of bread? Now, where was baking in the Beis HaMikdash? In the Mishkan? Well, baking itself wasn't actually done, but there was cooking in the preparation of the dyes. Although it says over here, baking, but the same would be true for cooking. Cooking means cooking in liquid, or roasting means without liquid. They would also be considered avos melachos. The reason the Tanna is just using the mashal of baking is because it's only in the baking process that we can explain all of the other 11 melachos that led up to one piece of bread that you are going to eat. Okay, it's up to Mishnah Vayta. Now we're now up to the second part of the Mishnah. Masechtas Shabbos, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Beis. And now we're going to see the series of malachis that don't lead up to a piece of bread, but rather the series of malachis that lead up to material. So, it took 11 malachis to get to a piece of bread. It's going to take 13 to get a piece of material. Let's go weiter. The first of these 13, which is the 12th of the overall Lamedtes Malachis. Hagoizes es etzemer, shearing wool. First, I have to get the wool off the sheep. Is there any way where I can do something which would be over Hagoizes that I have to be careful for? Okay, you know, plucking a feather from a bird, or cutting your nail with a nail clipper, or trimming your mustache or beard. That could be a telda of shearing the wool. All right, so that's the first step, shearing the wool. Next step, hamalabnoi. They would rinse it, wash it in the river. Here's where we learn that washing clothes. Malabnoi comes from the lashon of lavan, to make it white and clean. So from here's where we learn that washing clothes on Shabbos is aser. Next, v'hamenapitzai, combing it out. Next, malacha v'atzoivai, dyeing it. Where did they dye? In the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan, I mean. Well, wool was dyed for use in the yerias, the curtains, the covers of the Mishkan. So if you paint on Shabbos, you're chayiv. If it's a paint that's going to stay, if it's the kind of painting or coloring that's not going to stay, it's asur midrabanan. Okay, so I've cut the wool off, I cleaned it, I've combed it, dyed it. Now I have to spin it into threads. That's the next malacha, the hatoiva, spinning. You ever saw a spinning machine? You know, a grandmother sits with that machine, it looks like a bicycle wheel. So what it's doing is it's taking these combed out pieces of threads. It's not really a thread yet, it's like a bunch of different pieces, and it spins and it spins it until it's one long piece of thread. Hatoiva, now that I finish my spinning, I'm going to start the weaving process. Okay, let's understand. What does weaving mean? I want you to take a look at your shirt, unless you're wearing a leather jacket, which I hope you're not. But take a look at your shirt. See your shirt? Take a close look, really close look. See there are strings going one way, strings going the other way? Same as for your jacket? That's because that piece of material was woven together. Weaving means you have strings going one way, strings going the other way. It goes in and out, in and out, in and out until it forms the material. Okay, we everybody has it, and there's a special dance. It goes bam 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 bam. And people go in and out, over, under. That's like what it is. The strings go over, under. Strings go one direction, strings going in a different direction, and they go over, under, and that's how you have that piece of material. Like if you look very closely at your shirt, you're going to see it. Strings going one way, strings going the other way. Now, in order to do this, there was a big machine called a loom, and this loom was how you got to do this. It was very complicated. So the first thing you had to do was v'hamnes. He took some of the strings, going in one direction. Okay, it's actually, there's horizontal strings and vertical strings. Vertical means going up and down. Horizontal means going from side to side. So the strings going in one direction had to be lined up perfectly, and that was used to a rod, and it was connected to a rod. That's called v'hamesach, stretching them out in the perfect fashion. Then, the loom had like a box. There were two frames. Try to imagine a harp. But a harp has a certain shape. This was just a square box. The lines going up and down. In the middle of the lines, there were loops, little rings, and you would have to feed the strings through these loops. And the person who works the loom, he picks up these frames, lowers the frames, picks up the frames, lowers the frame, and as the things are spinning through, it comes out that the two sets of threads going in different directions go over, under, until you have a piece of material. So v'ha'oisa shnei batenirin means setting up two of these what's called heddles, these two loops. So now, after I stretched it and set up the loops, I start the weaving process, and the frames go up and down, and the strings are moving in different directions, and you begin to form what's the material. So v'ha'oirek, that's called weaving. So v'ha'oirek shnechut, one who weaves two threads, is chai. Vayter says the Mishnah v'ha'potzeya shnechut, someone opens up two of these threads. Now, it doesn't mean that he got so upset with this, he started undoing everything, because if he meant to be destructive, that would be makalkal, he wouldn't be chayav for that. But it means he has to even things out, he has to, you know, set it up good, that they're even on both sides, so he opens up some of them. Vayter zakta mishnah, ha-kosher, tying the hamatir, or opening things up. When do we tie or open things up? Well, where do we get chalas from? The chalazn fish. In order to catch the chalazn fish, they would have to make nets. And they would tie and untie their nets. Sometimes they had to remove the ropes from one net and attach it to the other. Now, chalas we use for tzitzis. Why do they need chalas in the Mishkan? Well, I'm sure you remember plenty of psukim where it says chalas. where it was needed for the curtains of the Mishkan. So we have making a knot and opening a knot. Of course, there are many halachis about which types of knots you can make or open on Shabbos. Weiter sagt die Mishnah, the Hatoifer steht Firas. Sewing two stitches. Once you have material, you can start sewing the stitches. Can't sew unless you have material. So when we finish weaving, then we start sewing. Now really, sewing only two stitches is very little. It's going to unravel. And anything that doesn't last, you're not chayiv on. So it has to be the Batrur explains that he ties it afterwards. However, once he ties it, he's chayiv on both sewing and tying. Well, I don't plan on sewing, but do I have to be careful on Shabbos not to be over this malacha? Yes. You know that gluing papers together is a tolda of sewing? And separating glued papers could be a tolda of tearing. That's the next malacha. Hakoreya, if someone tears, al menas litfor shtei tefiras, in order to set thing up to be able to sew two stitches. Well, if I'm sewing, why do I have to tear? Well, the answer is sometimes you have pieces that are uneven, or it's kind of lumpy, and therefore you want to cut away a piece of the fabric to be able to sew it together nicely, take out the creases. Sometimes by the Mishkan, there were small holes that were found in the curtains of the Mishkan. So they would tear away some of the threads in order to square out the hole and then be able to fix it. I'll give you a little mashal. You know, sometimes Chas V'Shalom, someone gets stitches, it's like uneven, the doctor wants to make it even, he cuts away a little bit at the skin to make it even. Sometimes we have to cut or rip in order to even things out. So that is the 13th of the malachos that lead up to close, or that are negeya to close, and it's the 24th of the overall Lama Tes malachos. Once again, akareya, someone rips something on the nas litvar on the condition to sew shtei tefirais, two stitches. Sakta Mishnavaita, we continue now the third chalik of our Mishnah, as we're dividing our Mishnah, Sechta Shabbos Perik Zayin Mishnah Beis. For the next 9 malachis, it's going to lead up to the writing of a Sefer Torah. The next 7 malachis is going to prepare the pyramid, the hide, the skin of the animal, to be used as scrolls for writing. Now, when they built the Mishkan, they used to prepare the hides of the tachash. Remember what the tachash is? An animal that had amazingly different colors. So, Zakta Mishnah. This would be the 25th of the Lamates Malachis. Hatsad Tzivi, trapping a deer. Now the emphasis is trapping or hunting any animal is a malacha, if it's the kind of animal that's normally hunted. Min HaTorah, you're only chayv if you hunt an animal. Then in addition that it's normally hunted, but you're hunting it to use it. You want the meat, or you want the skin, or he wants to use it for his amusement, whether that's right or wrong, but he's chayv for doing it on Shabbos. Now Chazal asks you to hunt even things that normally people don't hunt, like flies. So you have to be careful on Shabbos. Sometimes there are animals that may be dangerous. And over there, Chazal did allow us to stop them or trap them. Again, I'm not telling you what to do. I just want you to know that sometimes you have to ask, am I permitted to do this or not permitted to do it? Sometimes children play around and they'll take a cup, let's say, and trap a fly. So that for sure you should not do on Shabbos. Vaitrazak the Mishnah. Hashaychatai, shechting it. That's also one of the Lamates Malachais. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean when you shecht it'll be halach in such a way that you can eat it. Taking the life of any animal, whether it's a fish or a snake, shechting it, stabbing it, stepping on it. Now, besides for the fact that it may be tzar b'lechayim if he has no reason for doing it, but to do it on Shabbos is a serious isser. One is not permitted to take the life of any living creature on Shabbos. Vayitra says in Mishnah b'mafshitai, skinning the animal afterwards. Again, you have to take the hide off the animal. Hamolchai, salting it. We start processing the skins by salting it. V'hama'aved es oiroi. And then we start tanning it. Now the Gemara really asks that salting is the beginning of the process, how we start tanning it. So why do we need two separate molachis over here? So the Gemara actually takes out one of them and puts in a different Av Malacha. called sirtut. Sirtut means tracing lines. You see, before you cut the leather, we trace lines in order to be able to cut evenly. Later, it's also done on the actual pyramid. The cipher has to do that in order to be able to write evenly. So those lines that you see sometimes on a mezuzah or in a sefer Torah, you can see the lines are scratched out for the cipher to write evenly. Those are also called sirtut. Vayitra zakta mishnah, this is the 30th of the lametes melachas. V'hamaychakai, they would like scratch off the hair, smoothing it out. V'hamachadchai, and cutting it. Now, if you're telling me that maychakai means scraping it to take off the hair, so didn't we learn that already, that cutting hair is usur? No. Over there by Geizes, that's when I want the wool. Here, my kavan isn't that I want it. I don't want this hair. There's nothing I can do with it. But I want to smooth out the surface. That's the problem. Now, there's something called mimareach, and that means to take like a cream, a mushy cream, or like the wax of a candle, and to mush it down until it becomes smooth, to break it down. If a person did that on Shabbos, sometimes, or even on Yom Tov, on Shabbos, the candle will be muksa. But let's say on Yom Tov, where you're allowed to light a candle, and you want to make the bottom of the candle, which is solid wax, you want to make it mushy, so you can put it into the menorah. You do that on Hanukkah sometimes, so you can put it into the candelabra, and this way it hardens, it becomes like a glue, and it won't fall out. So you take the bottom of the candle, and you put it over the fire until it becomes like gooey. Well, to do that, could possibly be an Isser de Araisa. That's also the reason that you can't use hard soap on Shabbos, because you're taking something solid and you're mushing it up. Or some say that would apply even to toothpaste. Sometimes when you smear a cream, you have to be careful not to smear it, just to push it out of the tube. Again, under certain circumstances, it may be an Isser de Araisa, sometimes just the Rabbanon, in certain ways it's mutter. I'm not telling you what to do. Want you to know that sometimes you have to ask someone older, someone who understands and know what a shaila is. Okay, what about the malacha of v'hamachadchai? Is there anything bizman hazer, anything that would be negaya to us? Well, the truth is that any time you cut along a dotted line, or you saw, you tear, or you break something, or cut a piece of fabric to a specific size, one could be over this malacha. So again, maichakai means like scraping it down till it's smooth, getting the hairs out. And machatri means cutting it to a certain size. In this case, we're talking about the hides. So now that we have the parchment all ready to go, we can write. And therefore, the next malacha is, which is the 32nd of the Lametes Malachais, and the last two in this sequence, Hakoisef Shtei Isiais. Someone writes two letters. Now, where do they write in the Beis HaMikdash, or in the Mishkan, rather? The answer is, the wall boards of the Mishkan, the krushim, they were inscribed with letters, so you knew which one to match to the other one. For that matter, Zakta Mishnah Vayter, Malacha number 33, V'hamoychek, someone who erases something, but here too, it has to be that you erase something, not to undo or destroy, but rather he erases something on the nas, on the condition, Lichtov Shtei Oisius, to write two letters. In other words, he's erasing two letters in order to write two other letters in their place. Where did they do that in the Mishkan? Well, let's say when they were writing these letters on the board, one of the Kedoshim, to know how to match it to the other one, they made a mistake. So what would they do? They would erase it in order to write the proper one. So, we have already finished the 11 melachos necessary to bake bread, the 13 in the manufacture of clothing, and now the 9 that you have to do in order to write a Sefer Torah. What's left? 6 that has to do with construction of the Mishkan. Let's see what they are. Zakta Mishnah Vayter. Habayna, one who builds. Now, there are a lot of things that are included in the Yisra of building. Of course, building is pashit. Building a house, or adding on to a house. Preparing the ground to be able to build. And that is, let's say, filling up the holes or straightening out the floor when you're inside. Outside, it's chayrish. Inside, it's bayna. Even making a hole in the wall. A hole that's there for a constructive purpose, for a door or for a window, or even taking a window or a door and putting it into place, clicking it into its frame or into the hinges. It's possible that that is an Isser Deraisa. Making a permanent tent is a Tolda of Baina, just like there's an Isser to build. Sakta Mishnah Vayta, this is the 35th of the Lamates Malachas of Ahasaiser. Same is true when it comes to taking something apart. And here too, it is explained it's only if you take it apart with the condition to build. If someone just wants to take something apart to destroy it, then he's not chayiv. He's not allowed to do it, but he's not chayiv. Weiter sagt die Mishnah, Hamechabe, extinguishing a fire, Hamavir, or lighting a fire. Where was this in the Mishkan? Well, they had a fire underneath the pot, where they used to cook the dyes. How would it be negeil l'maisa to us? Well, we've already learned earlier that if someone adds oil to a menorah that's burning or takes off oil, that's either kindling or extinguishing the fire. This is one of the reasons you're not supposed to move a candle or a lamp that's burning, because you're shaking the oil, and either the fire is going to get bigger or smaller, besides for the problem that it's muktza. Trezakta Mishnah, Malacha number 38, Hamaka Ifatish. This means striking the final blow. Striking the final blow? Hamaka means to hit, like makos. Patish is a hammer. In a way, it's a kind of a muscle. A craftsman, someone who's working, someone who knows how to build, a carpenter, when he's finished his job, he takes the hammer and he strikes it against a flat surface because he wants to smooth the surface of the hammer. It should be ready for his next job. It's like his way of saying, okay, it's finished now. So what Makka B'Patish really means, although literally it means striking with the hammer, but in terms of the malach, it means putting the finishing touch on anything. Ah, now that I did it, it's complete. It's complete, but if he does it on Shabbos, he's chayiv, because this is one of the lamates malachas. So as explained, because Makka B'Patish isn't just hitting with a hammer, it's just a marshal, so a person can do something that has nothing to do with a hammer. Let's say he's blowing a glass vessel. You know how they shape glass vessels? They make it hot. Then they blow it up, and they carve designs. Or let's say someone is planing something. After he finishes, you know, he's scraping it to make it smooth. Let's say you have some thread sticking out of a garment, and you pull it out because it's disturbing you. Now, Chazal asked a lot of things because of this. Let's say you want to straighten out a crooked needle, or your glasses got crooked, or if your lens falls out of your eyeglasses. And there's a shaila, whether you can put it back or not. Can you play music on Shabbos? The answer is no. Chazal made a gzeir, because suppose someone is playing his musical instrument, and it breaks, he goes, oyvei, and before he even thinks what's happening, he goes and he fixes it. So because of that concern, Chazal said no music on Shabbos. Are you allowed to swim on Shabbos? Well, of course, if it's a kanes nefashos, if someone falls into the water, of course he's allowed to swim. And if he has to save someone, of course he's mechuyev to swim. But stamazai, just to go swimming? For your own pleasure? No. Because the concern is he may come to make a raft. Or let's say you have a loose leg of a chair, and you want to put it back into place. So you have to know whether you can or you can't. It depends on many different circumstances. You have to be careful. There are some things, Chazal asked, because it looks like you're fixing something. For example, suppose you have a keli that has to be tivled, and before you tivle it, you can't use it. Not supposed to tivle it on Shabbos, because it kind of gives the impression, oh, till now I couldn't use it, now I can use it. Or even to separate challah or trumas and maisers, you're not supposed to do on Shabbos, because in a way, you're kind of fixing it. The Mishnah concludes, Hari Elu Avos Melachais. These are the Avos Melachais, the main Melachais, and they number Arbayim Chasarachas, 40 minus 1. What does the Mishnah have to repeat it over here? It's to remind us that the most it's possible for a person to be over in one stretch, if he didn't know the Halachis, but he knew it's Shabbos, is 39. Because even if he plowed twice, he would only be chayav once for each Melacha. Okay, so do you remember the Lamites Melachais? Do you remember the first 11 Melachais that lead up to a piece of bread? Let me go it over real quickly. They are Zareya, planting, Chayrish, plowing, Kaitzer, cutting, Ma'amer, gathering. Dash is threshing. Then comes Zara, wind shoveling, Boirer, sorting out, Teichen, grinding, Maraket, sifting, Lush, kneading, and finally, Oifa, baking. Then come the 13 that lead up to what? Lead up to clothes. Shearing the wool, that's Gaizes. Washing it, Malavnoi. Natsoi, combing it, what's Tsoivai? Remember what Tsoveya is? Dyeing. Taiva, spinning, Mesach. Setting up the threads, Oisesh, they buttonirin. That's setting up those loops, what's called the heddles, that it feeds through. Ha'ireg, Shnechutin, weaving two threads, or removing two threads in order to fix things. Kaisher, making a knot, matir, or opening it on the condition to make a knot. Sewing two stitches. Ripping something, korea, on the condition that you want to restitch it. And those are the malachis that lead up to clothes. And finally we had the malachis. What was the next segment? The malachis that lead up to having parchment, to be able to write a Sefer Torah. First you have to capture the deer, to get the hide. Shechting it, skinning it. Hamelchis, salting it, ma'abei, tanning it. Some put in sirtut. Remember what sirtut means? Scratching out the lines in order to know how to cut it. Meichakai, smoothing it out, ripping out the hair and making it smooth. Hamechatchai, actually cutting it. Now that we have the hide, the parchment is ready. So writing two letters. What did we have then in the Mishkan? Anyone remember? They would connect the two krashim. They had to write a letter on each to show that these two are peers. Erasing on the condition to write two letters. Habayna, building, vasesa, taking apart. Hamechabe, extinguishing a fire, vamaver, and lighting a fire. Hamaka the patish, which literally means the last strike of the hammer, but it means finishing something off. And finally, hamaitzi, rishos lishos, which means carrying something from one rishos to the other.